Hello there, and thanks for joining me again on my podcast as we look at the status of education, part three, as I look at the way in which our children today are educated, the sad state, actually, of our educational system. So we are in trouble as a country relative to our educational system. So the question is, if you have kids and you wanted them to have an excellent education, where would you live? In what state would you live? Where would you move? Well, let me have you think about that for a minute, and I want to just pause and reflect on a different issue just for a moment. Queen Elizabeth II. Now, 1965, 66, I can't remember exactly, she came to Kingston, Ontario, where I was in school at the time and working at the local hospital. And she came in a motorcade, and I had opportunity to leave the hospital, come out to the street, and have audience with her. Able to see her and wave to her and just send her my greetings on behalf of America, I guess it was. But that was in Canada. As a privilege. I count that as a privilege. I count that as one of the peaks of my life, to be able to have at least a close viewing of the Queen. And over the years, I've followed her, and certainly a woman of graciousness. She was a leader. She didn't lead by power. She didn't lead by a bully behavior. She didn't lead by threats. She led by gracious example. That was her power. That was her influence. Gracious example of living, of speaking, of relating, of meeting people. That's the example she represents. And that's the one that we need to keep in our mind, that's the woman she was. She was a woman, to be sure. A gracious example of womanhood. She was also an example of the leadership that women can have in our society today. Of course, she had a very unique role and a unique position. But women can, and everywhere can, have a leadership role in our community, in our neighborhoods, in our country. They need to be gracious, they need to be kind, and we will give the women an opportunity to be a great influence upon all of us. Graciousness and kindness is what we want in a woman. That is what a woman is, it's what a woman should be, it's what a woman represents, what a woman presents for us as an example in our society, in our culture. And she was certainly that. Now let me just reflect on this issue of schools. I've done two parts now on the educational system and some of the troubles we're in and some of the problems that are facing our educational system, teachers, and then some of the solutions that are available to us. We don't have to go on having a sick, dysfunctional, non-productive educational system. We don't have to do that. We can rise above it. We did at one point in time. That goes back to the early 50s. In the early 60s, that's when our educational system was at its peak. You know, and today we haven't done much since then. Interestingly, let me just give you an example. The American Heritage Foundation just concluded a very extensive research study on the educational system. And they've published the results, and I've been able to review that just a little bit. But here's one little finding that's very significant. Since 1970, now think about that, 1970, we have spent in our educational system three times the amount of money we did in 1970 to today. Over all these years, we've tripled the amount of cost of education and what it's cost us as taxpayers. Triple. Do you know what the sad word is? There's been very little academic gain. Very little, if no, academic gain over that period of time. And all that money. Teachers yell out for more pay. People want teachers to be paid more. Politicians use that as an advantage when they're politicking and they're advocating for votes. So teachers get the money. Teachers get the money. Teachers get the money. And over all these years, they've gotten three times the income they were making in 1970. But no to little academic gain in that period of time. Very significant. Here's another finding that the Heritage Foundation came up with. 76 school programs are now available to our kids. These are options to the public school system. 76 different kinds of school programs are available to our kids across the nation. And we have about 700,000 kids taking advantage of optional education. School choice, we call that. Now, here's another interesting study that's important for you to know. Since 1950, let's go back to that. Since 1950, teachers have increased, the number of teachers in our educational system that is the number of jobs out there, have increased by 246%, almost 250% more jobs today as teachers than there were in 1950. The administrative jobs, interestingly, these are principals, assistant principals, superintendents, learning directors, and all the various kinds of administrators, has increased by 710%. We are putting our money in administration. We're not putting money into the education of our kids. We're putting money into the administration of school systems for our kids. Half of all jobs in education, just half, let's just take the educational system, half of the jobs are teachers. The other half are janitors and administrators of various kinds. Lopsided, to be sure. We're paying for educators of an administrative type, not educators of a classroom teaching type. And since 1950, our enrollment in schools in America has gone up 100%. So many more kids, but a lot more administrators in our school systems than teachers. Now, we have been hearing a lot about critical race theory. That is, judging people on the basis of the race, dividing people on the basis of the race, hiring people on the basis of the race, protecting people on the basis of the race, making provisions for people based on their race. 24 states have now created laws to protect children from critical race theory thinking and teaching. 24 states say critical race theory is not welcome in our state. We don't want our children taught critical race theory and thinking. We don't want racism. We want productionism. We want successism. We want achievementism. We want grade advancement-ism. We want socialization-ism, where kids learn to relate to each other in respect and in kindness relate to each other. We want our kids to be proficient in their educational experience, so we want proficient-ism. We don't want racism. Forget this issue of racism. That's not the issue. The issue is getting in a classroom, learning the lessons, learning scholarship, learning socialization, learning advancement, and moving on in life and contributing to the society and the community in which you live, no matter what color your skin is. Forget that matter. It's not a matter of skin color. It's a matter of being in the classroom and paying attention and learning. It's going home and having a mother and a father that says, first we do our schoolwork, our homework, and then we play. Then you can work on your cell phone. It's a mother and father who says, you leave your cell phone at home and you go to school and you go to learn, no matter what color you are. It's a mother and father that says, you get to sleep the 8 hours to 10 hours at night, get to bed early and get up and get to school and be ready to learn. That's successism. So make sure that that is where your life comes forward. So what I would like to have you think about this, here's the question, in light of what we just now talked about. If you have children and you want to have them have an excellent education, from elementary school through high school and on into college, where would you move? To what state, to what city would you move? Now, let me say this first of all. There are good schools everywhere in the United States. There are bad schools everywhere in the United States. But as a state, here's what the Heritage Foundation came up with. What are the top 10 states in America that have the best educational system in America? What are the 10 states? Here they are, I'll give them to you. So if you want to move, these are your 10 states that you can choose from that would give you an excellent education. Florida's number one. Arizona, number two. Idaho, number three. Indiana, number four. South Dakota, number five. Mississippi, number six. West Virginia, number seven. Montana, number eight. Louisiana, number nine. And Tennessee, number 10. Okay, those are your top states in America with the best educational system, according to the research study that just been completed by the American Foundation, as they looked at lots of elements of education and rated school systems and then rated states. Here they are, just for your remembrance, okay? Florida, Arizona, Idaho, Indiana, South Dakota, Mississippi, West Virginia, Montana, Louisiana, and Tennessee. Now, let's embarrass a few people, okay? What are the bottom 10 states? Of all the states, what are the worst states relative to quality education, according to the American Heritage Foundation study just recently completed? Bottom of the list, District of Columbia. Next, I'm going up now, from the bottom up, District of Columbia, New Jersey, New York, Maryland, Massachusetts, Connecticut, Alabama, Rhode Island, Washington, Illinois, and Hawaii. Okay, now there's the bottom of the list in education. Stay away from those states if you can. Get out of those states if you can. If you're interested in educating your children at a high quality level, you aren't going to get it in those states unless you happen to find a school that's unique and different and provides what you need for your children. Here they are, from bottom up. District of Columbia, New York, New Jersey, Maryland, Massachusetts, Connecticut, Alabama, Rhode Island, Washington, Illinois, and Hawaii. So you have choices. And if you're going to move, there are a few states to stay away from. There are a few states to seek out. If education is a primary factor in your decision-making as to where you live and where you move to. Now, I know there are other reasons to move in certain states and so on. But if you move in another state where it's not a good educational system, you better look for a particular school and a particular teacher. School choice becomes an option. Find a teacher you like and then have that teacher teach your kid. And the next year, that kid may have to move to a different school and to a different teacher, so you get a good teacher. Don't go to a school for 6 years, 8 years, 4 years, 2 years, whatever. Don't go to a school. Go to a school for a particular teacher for a particular year, and then move to a different school if you need to. But move where the quality is. Move where the great teachers are. Move to the school where it is known for its educational quality, and you'll be thankful that your kids have a good education. Hey, good. Thanks for joining me. And wish you well in your pursuits of a good education for your kids. This is part three on going back to school these days, but certainly not like it used to be. Well, before I leave you, let me just say this. I wrote a book several years back, Doctor, Teach Me to Parent. I recommend that book to you if you're a parent. Here's why. In every chapter, I talk about the problems of kids. The problems that parents have with kids, all kinds, anger and depression and anxiety and social relationships and drugs, etc. and so on down the line, about 50 different topics. But in every chapter, I have a section in there of how teachers and parents can work together on that particular problem for your particular kid. So the book might be helpful to you. It gives teachers ideas of what they can do in the classroom, it gives parents what they can do at home, and it gives ideas of what parents and teachers can join forces and do together for the sake of your kids. So let me give you that option to take a look at as well. Bye for now.